Want to thank Debbie so much for stepping in. Jen Leiby was scheduled to be our worship associate, and the flu bug is going around, including that family, a lot of other people are struggling with it. So thank you, Debbie, for stepping in. Gary's story moved my heart. About 5 years ago, before he and his wife, Naomi, had children, they were looking to buy a house in this neighborhood. They went to a house for sale and knocked on the door. An older man and woman, maybe in their 80s, answered. They invited Gary and Naomi in to take a look. The couple selling the house told Gary and Naomi they had lived there for 55 years. Raised their own girls there, and that the house had more good memories than they could count. Gary looked at the books on the shelf, the photos on display. He felt the love in the walls and the windows. Gary and Naomi ended up buying that house and experienced an inheritance of loving kindness there. In the following years, Naomi gave birth to their own two amazing girls, who are now 3 and 1. And like a good Mount Airy dad, Gary takes plenty of turns waking up in the middle of the night to console the girls. He changes lots of diapers, reads lots of books, and Gary plays the piano and sings to the girls. Gary is also a remarkably mellow and grounded person. I've asked him more than once how he stays that way with all that's going on. And one time he said, "Hey, like any parent, at times demands stretch me to the point where complaints and resentments towards life well up. But when I feel that way, many times I go back to this incredible thing that happened. One day, the man who had lived in the house for 55 years came to the door unannounced. He said, "I hope I am not disturbing you, but I wonder if I might come in and feel the old place. I miss the house." Gary and Naomi invited the then 90-something man into the house. Oscar shared, "I came back to experience the love in the house because my wife died not too long ago." They chatted for a while, just as Oscar was preparing to leave, he said, "I have a confession to make, and I hope this is okay. Before I knocked on your door, I took the liberty of going into the backyard and spreading some of my wife's ashes. You see, this backyard was one of her favorite places in the world." Gary and Naomi said, "No problem. We're sorry for your loss." After Oscar left, Gary looked out the window, and the yard looked very different. Ever since the previous owner came by and spread his wife's ashes, Gary says he appreciates the house more than ever as a blessed place to live, love, and grow. These days, when Gary has to get up at 3 a.m. to feed the baby, he thinks to himself, "This won't last long. I better appreciate every moment and soak up this love while it lasts." Stories are doorways. When we open Gary's door, we see the wonder of life from birth to death. When we walk through Gary's door, we feel the majesty of the life cycles. We participate directly in the making of meaning for the living of our lives. Healthy religion creates meaning and purpose with or without God. Vibrant religion empowers us, with or without God, to share and listen to stories as full participants in the making of meaning. These stories, like Gary's story, call to something deep within us, something that resonates, whether we call it God, Allah, Spirit of Life, or something else. Within these walls, Unitarian Universalism not only welcomes theists, agnostics, and atheists. In the living faith tradition we share, theists, agnostics, and atheists are deeply woven into the gorgeous fabric. And, of course, within the walls of the church should not be the only place where we talk about meaning and purpose. I fondly remember the 100th birthday party of a relative of members of the church. His name was Sir. He was Janet Haas's father, Jen Libby's grandfather. It was the General Davis Pub where Sir frequented weekly past his 100th birthday, where people gaily celebrated this remarkable man who was still drinking from the nectar of life and the tap. Good for him. Carl Libby and I were with a cousin of theirs who asked, by the way, what is this church Carl goes to now? I hear it's not the run-of-the-mill church. Perhaps because we were aware that this might be Sir's last birthday, it opened us up a bit more. We easily entered serious conversations. Carl and I explained that we Unitarian Universalists aspire to be free-thinking and powerfully loving. We are atheists, agnostics, and theists. And individually, Carl and I both shared a bit. For example, I believe in X, Y, or Z about spirituality or the existence of God. We got into the metaphysics of the universe. And a number of times, Carl and I paused and looked at each other and said, what? I did not know you believed that. Really? Really? Carl's cousin asked the big question. So many of you do not believe in God. Why do you call Unitarian Universalism a religion? We shared that for us, there's a lot more to religious community than agreeing on a name or a concept about God. The root word, the Latin root for religion, religio, means to bind back or to bind together. In a world racked with fear, hatred, prejudice, and anger, religion has been used to painfully break apart. Our religion is one of the religions that empowers us to work to bind people back together with unifying forces of love, courage, and hope. Now, on the one hand, I got a big kick out of energized religious discourse in the middle of a packed pub at a 100th birthday party. And on the other hand, I was saddened, realizing Carl and I had not had as many of these conversations at the church or on the men's retreat, which we've both been on many years. I know meaningful theological conversations do happen here, many places, including building your own theology and writing your own spiritual autobiography classes, small group ministries, book groups, and in the fellowship hour. But I believe it's a good time to increase quantity and quality. And now, as a church, we're embarking on a grand project which probably no other religion in the world would dare take on. Probably. This free thinkers process, which includes a town hall meeting today, involves learning and sharing. It involves making an open covenant together, declaring you are welcome here if you are sure of the existence of God. You are welcome here if you are unsure about the existence of God, and you are welcome here if you are absolutely positive that there is no God at all. You are welcome here as you. What is certain is that compassion and respect can abide while we figure out what we believe and share. Religious humanism makes tremendous contributions, embracing intellectualism and chopping chains of dogmatism. Here we don't ask people to check their brain at the door. We encourage doubts and bold questions. We aim to interweave scientific advancements with spiritual values. We embrace a rigorous intellectual pursuit of truth, and we are not confined by reason alone. At points in our lives, many of us experience something transcendent, which is not always rational. Although Frank Lloyd Wright, the famous architect, was a Unitarian and an atheist, he acknowledged the divinity within each of us. Frank Lloyd Wright from Oak Park, Illinois, said, "We humans too often scramble through our lives without truly connecting with the divinity deep within ourselves. That elusive yet real quality which grounds us in ourselves arouses idealism and drives us forth. We cannot and should not always try to explain what happens when we go through Gary's door or any doorway of our stories. Demanding proof can impede people from connecting with the elusive yet real quality of the divinity deep within ourselves." In an interview about his understanding of the meaning of music, violinist Isaac Stern confessed, "You can describe music, but you can't really explain it. There's a wondrous mystery about music," he says. "The only way music can really be made is when you yourself go into an ecstatic trance. It has to come from within. Quality life and quality religious experience are a lot like that. Here we celebrate life every Sunday, with or without God, with music, silence, spoken word. This worship facilitates wondrous mystery and ecstatic trance. At the bar, the yoga studio, the kitchen table, and yes, at the church, let's share more about what we think and feel going through the doorways of our stories. And let's talk about what we believe to be true and important for the human family and this home we call Earth." Here's something which a lot of people around the world have been doing more lately. In the last couple decades, we're doing it here. Scale of 1 to 10 for atheists and theists. Let us say, words are imperfect, so just try your best. 1 is you're a total atheist. You completely know there is nothing that could be called God, and 10 is you're a strong theist, you absolutely know there is probably an able and powerful God, and there's everything in the middle. Where are you? When's the last time you thought about that or shared with a friend? I believe, to the best of my ability, that I am about a 3.5. True. One being an atheist, 10 being a theist. I'm like a 3.5. Perhaps it's obvious, but I give a cautionary note that these conversations can be difficult over the last years. I have come to believe that the words atheist, agnostic, and theist can be distracting, if not unhelpful. The words hold very different meanings for many people. If I say I'm an agnostic, you very well may think I'm saying something different from my intent, and we enter disoriented conversation. So I encourage us to be specific with care. I do not believe in a God who can listen to prayers and decide whether or not to respond to prayers. I cannot justify that in my brain and heart because of unnecessary suffering. If such a God can intervene and help children walk safely to school in the morning, why would that God not intervene and feed hungry people around the world when there is more than enough food? I do believe in prayer. For me, love, courage, and hope in many ways are synonymous for God. And so when we pray, we ourselves become more loving and courageous beings. And when someone else knows we're praying about them, or maybe when they don't, they themselves can receive love. Some of it's mystery, hence my 3.5. God, love, hope, and courage are some of the most powerful and life-saving forces in the universe for me. What do you see, what do you experience when you walk through the door? Let's be gentle with one another. Intense prejudice hurts, and we know there's plenty of it out there against folks who not believe in God. That's why we're going through, part of why we're going through this formal process. Poll after poll shows that atheists are one of the lowest groups in the country when people are asked, who would you vote for? Muslims get a much higher percentage of people would vote for them than atheists, just to give you an example, with such high, intense Islamophobia. In my life, I remember people telling me, I'm a lifetime you, and many times they say, your religion is messed up. I am worried about you, man. You guys have atheists? That's not, you're going to have problems, including in the afterlife. And some of the folks, it's if it's funny to you, it's good, but they're serious. And I know we've had those conversations. I'm glad people are laughing, but I'm not saying that funny because people are just saying they're worried about what's going to happen to you. And some of the folks who said that I admire, and their comments cut like a knife. If religious humanism allows us to tell our sacred stories as doorways to making meaning and finding purpose, count me in. If religious humanism helps us to right-size ourselves, to see we all have inherent dignity and worth, and we all go from dust to dust, count me in. If religious humanism allows us to more fully experience and celebrate the spiritual connections we have with all of the cosmos, count me in. Some people like to talk about God as a creative process, an active process. Some think of God in metaphorical terms such as love, courage, and hope. I tend to agree with both. And so it is, I say, for the common good, God bless the humanists.